Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to another edition, off-season edition of Just Ball Things. With me today, next to me, as always, is the J-Man, Jack Manuel, at the J-Man JBT.
Oh, you're already doing
Ooh,
me.
Like on it. Twitter. Follow him. How are you, buddy boy?
I'm swell, sir. I am swell as swell can be.
As swell as swell can be. That is good stuff. My name is Nick Busick. Did you know, for the first time in probably around 3 or 4 months, I played outdoor soccer.
Hey, how'd you go?
Played outdoor soccer on Tuesday last week.
Yeah.
For the first time in a very long time on an AstroTurf. So it's like fake grass.
We don't need
to know.
It's
an important detail.
Why?
Because the next day I was fooked. Could not walk for the next 3 days. And AstroTurf is a very hard turf.
It is.
So
it is. We like hard turf. We like hard turf.
It's hard on the knees, but it was good to get back out there. It's good
shoulder
to get back out
not
there.
Destroyed.
Shoulder not destroyed. Yes, shoulder not destroyed.
Good
which
to hear.
Which was very good. Bit of a benign, not benign, but like a very sort of mellow, random
Anthony?
Fact. Speaking of no, no segue there. No.
None at all to official banter time complete.
Yes, but that's us done. Thanks for joining us. You can contact us on Twitter at the JManJBT, as I mentioned before, or at JBTNick. We are closely affiliated with OTG Basketball. They've got an awesome podcast network and news website where you can keep up to date with all things NBA. Make sure you give them a follow at OTG Basketball on Twitter. What's on the agenda, my friend?
Top
for OTG.
Top 20 of our top 50 player rankings that Corey Waldron and I have been working on is dropping over the next few days. So before the NBA season starts, that'll be complete. Check out the other 25 to 50 already. There's been a bit of controversy with some of the players there already.
Seems to be. I mean, no one's opinion is absolute. That
except
is faux show.
Except
we've
for
got. Got a bit of discussion like that on the show. Precursor. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/justballthings. Give us a like and a follow. And jbtpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to email the show, we'll read them out. If you've got any tidbits you want us to talk on the show, we'll chat. But, mate, let's start off here with the staple here
BMS.
At JBT. BMS, the Busick Manuel Scale. We love a good acronym here at JBT, Just Ball Things.
Absolutely.
For those of you who are new, this is a JBT created scale.
The NBA is an acronym.
Oh,
mind blown gift right there.
Just, I'll put one of those in for good
measure. Serious synergy right there.
This is a JBT created scale, the BMS, that sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA. We've got alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, or straight up fact.
Yes.
As our scaling rungs, I guess, rungs on the ladder.
System. Spectrum.
Ooh, I like spectrum. Scale.
Yeah.
I think that's
the
what
the T-shirt shows that it's a scale. Get those T-shirts. DSGNtree.com.
DSGNtree.com.
Off the glass.
Mate,
China.
I don't think we can...
NBA.
I don't think we can avoid this. It's been talked to death for the past week. But now you get to hear our points on geopolitics.
The real opinions, ladies and gentlemen, that matters. You don't need anything from Washington Post, New York Times, or ABC.
The learned political opinions of two Australian people
yep.
about an American-Chinese
geopolital conflict. All about it.
All right, so, mate, the topic here, the controversy with the NBA and China is a no-win situation for all parties involved.
This is going to be a controversial take here, Nick. It's a controversial topic, probably, no doubt. I'm going alternative fact for this because
ooh.
I think this topic in general needed to have light shed on it. And if it took a misstep by Daryl Morey on Twitter, who obviously started this furor, obviously by... I'm tweeting out a caption saying I stand with the people of Hong Kong or I stand with the protesters, whatever it might be, along those lines. So I think it's actually a good thing that this report has been brought out, because it almost has been simmering. And there have been politicians in both sides of politics in America that have come out, which is rich, because the politics of America right now in terms of how people are responding and how they're impacting in terms of gun rights and everything else, calling the NBA out is richer than Bezos, Jeff Bezos, richest man in the world. But I actually think it's a good thing, because now it allows layman people like us and people in general to understand this. Like, I've looked up videos of consumer content, and I have an understanding now of what the conflict is. I obviously don't have a history or a background, or, you know, I feel strongly towards probably the Hong Kong people and their rights to protest and their rights to democracy, because China being an authoritarian country and an authoritarian state, it just doesn't vibe with me. I think most people that would be listening to this podcast would probably say the same thing, that don't have a history, I might be assuming for you, but I assume you believe in free speech.
Yeah, I mean, we host a podcast. It's sort of very hypocritical if we don't agree on free
We are sponsored
speech.
By the leaning government. I was glad that this came out. I was glad, and obviously this could be costing the NBA a potential hundreds of millions of dollars. It seems to be simmering down to an extent now, because China doesn't, at least the optics of it, doesn't want to come off as the bad guy, as this, you know, this ruler. They like to run their politics in their way, sort of simmering under the surface, and have people, to, for lack of a better term, bending to their will, but still being able to conduct business, conduct politics, conduct, you know, the inner workings of their country within a way that it almost goes unnoticed. But this situation has almost shined a light on them and almost made them seem like a quote-unquote bad guy, because they're not, it seems to me, they're trying to be the bully. They're trying to stand up to the NBA and go, well, you guys have to bend to our will. We're the ones that have billions of dollars. We're the ones that, and obviously the Houston Rockets have felt the brunt of this the most with, apparently their rights being suspended within the CTV network and I think it was Digital 10 or whatever it was called. So, and I believe the Houston Rockets were the most popular, if not the second most popular team.
I think it was the most popular,
I think they're the most popular because of Yao Ming, but yeah. Recently in a 2018 report, it was the Golden State Warriors. And the Houston Rockets have worn the Chinese-inspired jerseys as well with the lettering and symbols. And we heard James Harden come out and spoke about it and say that, like, you know, there's a good relationship there. Tillman Fertitta, immediately there was, you know, questions about... Mm. I mean, it's rich coming from a guy who has a book, Shut Up and Listen. So, yeah, I'm not going to really buy into what he thinks, because at the end of the day, he always thinks about Nicholas this, the dollar bills.
The finger things. Where's the money? The finger, there it is.
Eventually.
I really need to color code this thing. I need green for money.
So you just need, well then what are you going to do for like Louise and the freaking idiot? Pink?
Pink is.
Yeah. But I actually don't think it's a no-win situation. Yes, it could adversely affect people in different ways, but I think that the fact that we are all a little more informed about this issue and makes us more intelligent, more informed, I think is a good thing. And for the record, yes, it's incredibly complex, but we don't have any alignment with anyone involved. We're not ESPN. We don't have any rights with certain affiliations with, so we, and we're amateurs. And I think that gives us more free rein to give an opinion on this topic. And I am pro to the rights to the people in Hong Kong to have their right to democracy. Watched a few videos from the New York Times, Washington Post today. By 2047, they're going to be within China as a one nation sort of state. Whereas until then, you know, Hong Kong want to maintain their sort of independence and autonomy, even though within their constitution, and it's complicated in relation to China, they still do have it. It's just China wants to continue this stranglehold and continue to show this power and force that we know that they have. And they have it in such a big way, obviously, economically and in so many different ways. Shout out to South Park, where Andy's doing his thing over there as well. Need to watch the most recent episode. But
I've,
I tweeted,
I've been told of,
did you see my tweet the other day when that first came out, Daryl Morey and the kerfuffle and the entire, it was blowing up. The episode of South Park, like before, the week before it sort of happened, there were NBA players who were on the plane, like just putting their stuff away, and there was like Marvel and people from Disney, and James Harden was one of the players. Like, it was James Harden, it was, funnily enough, Will Barton for some reason, and LeBron James. So I screenshotted it and I put it on Twitter, it got a little bit of traction. So it's sort of like how Simpsons predicts the future. The South Park creators did it, and you know, shout out to Trey Parker and Matt Stone. But I am, and this is an alternative fact for me, because as much as this can affect adversely, you know, China and their right to sort of govern in the way that they seem possible, and the NBA could be losing some dollars,
some money.
And you found it again. Yeah, you were pretty quick with that one. Up, a little bit quicker. Still not seamless. But yeah, I'm glad for this. And the people who are criticizing some of the players and coaches for not coming out and speaking about it, I think it's a bit rich, because if you don't want to speak about something, that is also the right to free speech, to not speak about something. Everyone just thinks you have to have an opinion. You have to be Steve Kerr just go and be Greg Popovich. They don't know about it because it's not their own backyard. They don't feel like that they have the right to do so. I don't have a right really to do so, but we have a podcast, we have a platform. And, you know, it would be remiss of us not to speak about something that is probably the biggest NBA story and one of the biggest sports stories probably ever since we've recorded this podcast anyway.
Mm. There was a point which is sort of classic me getting my sources from one source.
one NBA podcast.
But that is, I mean, I don't have a lot of time these days, Jackie Boy.
Yes, Nick.
And it was brought to my attention the fact that there is so much more than just money involved in this deal. There's a whole bunch of people that go along with that money. And I know a lot of people advocating for the deal to break down.
Yeah, yeah.
For the US to sort of sit on their high horse and be like, these are the sort of morality standards that we are setting.
Yeah.
If you cannot meet them, then we do not have a deal. And that would be fantastic if there were no repercussions, major repercussions for I guess, dismantling this multi-million dollar deal.
And I guess with that, before you do go on, sorry to interrupt, normally, what did I used to do when I interrupt you? I can't remember, in season one. We're up to season four nearly next week. Next week, season four, by the way, guys, we'll have our season preview episode then. But in that sort of sense, the NBA has been quote-unquote the woke league. Adam Silver hasn't had a controversy to sort of deal with the likes of David Stern in terms of his tenure, and this has forced him to sort of show some leadership. And initially when they came out, it wasn't so good. It was trying to play both sides, sort of be like, oh yeah, Daryl Morey, you can do this. Oh yeah, we like China. But then they came out and have sort of been a bit firmer in their stance of, you know, the right to sort of free speech, the right to voice your opinion. Everyone has that within the NBA, and obviously the NBA has that in comparison to the NFL, to the baseball, and all the leagues over there. So in terms of that, I'm not sure if continuing this deal with China goes against those standards. It's not for me to judge. At the end of the day, yes, China is a sort of quote-unquote lack of free speech because the government controls what they see, the government controls internet and social media and so many other things, what they can consume. So it clearly, in terms of the morality standards you're speaking about, the NBA maintaining and doing business with China isn't a good optics look, at the very least. And it doesn't bother me, to be honest, as much as it might some others. But at least the optics of it is sketchy.
I think from a, obviously, Adam Silver's job is to make the league as profitable as it can
for
be.
For the owners. He is the owners. It's a for-profit league. Sure. These billionaires own a franchise, they're called governors now because the word owner is...
that's right.
Yeah. And it's fine. Whatever word you want to use for it. But his job is to make them money. And making them money means finding economic opportunities. The greatest economic opportunities for any business, be it Hollywood and movies, be it entertainment, be it sport, is within China. And the NBA has already a foothold there because it is if not the most popular sport within that country. The players that have deals there is Klay Thompson and CJ McCollum have deals with Anta, however you say it, the Chinese footwear brand. How does that affect them? The salary cap could be affected, possibly. There is talks that it could be a 15% decrease, and that apparently Daryl Morey knew
salary,
that.
The salary cap is directly linked to how much money the league makes.
Yep.
If the league makes less money, then there's less salary cap, which means the players get paid less. And I know people like us, if the max becomes 25 million instead of 20 million instead of 25 million, big deal. And I tend to agree, that from that side, like the players, it's not just a player thing. Like the money in the NBA will trickle down everywhere. So maybe we from staff to players, everyone will be seeing less.
And consumers might have to, fans might have to pay more for tickets. Maybe because the owners are like, well, we're not making more money. We're gonna put the foothold back to the everyday people. They have to pay more for their ticket prices for their season tickets.
Not to mention the countless, like the countless amount of Chinese people who currently ingest the league will have what we consider a very basic right.
Yeah.
And a basic sort of, like, we can watch basketball whenever we want. Yep. We love this sport.
Yep.
They equally love this sport, and it's getting could be completely stripped from them.
Yeah.
Which is another reason why I'm tend to side with the NBA keeping this deal.
Yeah.
Not so much because, like, the Chinese, because it's the we got to separate our thinking between China and the Chinese government.
Yeah.
Because it's the Chinese government that have these problems. China itself is a country
with billions of people and billions of unique
people. They are the people that the NBA are marketing to, not the Chinese government. So, unfortunately, I have to go through the Chinese because that's how their country works. But they are trying to access the general population of China.
Yeah.
Not like from a money perspective, 100% sure. But it's also from a league growth perspective because Adam Silver truly believes that this is the greatest sport in the world and the world needs to be a part of it.
Yeah, and they've had obviously the ventures in Japan and India over this preseason.
Like expanding the game is something that from a business perspective, sure, is very lucrative, but it's also from a very philosophical
standpoint.
In that everyone deserves basketball.
Yeah, and in that standpoint, the philosophy that you sort of spoke about, the morals you sort of spoke about, it is very tricky. And I think it's something that we'll continue to address until it is resolved, because I think it's a fascinating topic. And, you know, I'm similar with Daryl Morey. I stand with the people in Hong Kong. Their right to protest and their right to... And this age that we are currently in right now, I think that I've always been skeptical, and this is just a more general term, about the benefits of protesting and how it can institute change. But then, like, my dad just threw it in my face. He's like, well, all these things. And I'm just like, all right, yep, I was wrong. And with the age that we're living in now, there has to be a way, because there is so much going on in terms of the philosophy and what we sort of stand for as people, whatever country you live in, that is the... And a lot of the protesting that has been done that hasn't been highlighted has been peaceful. So, obviously, China doesn't want to probably show that. But yeah, I think that it is a very tricky thing. And I think that from a standpoint of the NBA, before we do move on to some basketball stuff, it's probably going to shine a light on a lot of other businesses that choose to do business internationally. And thinking about when you're doing business with in a large scale, what are the politics that could come in involved? What do we stand for? What is the line that we're willing to cross? You know, the Chinese government were essentially controlling the Lakers and Nets games, and it would have been like, they could have just been like, and it's done. Nah, we're not doing this anymore. They essentially let the games go on without any media access, which was weird because it's just strange. But the games were good. It seemed to be a decent enough atmosphere. There were outside protesters where some vendors were selling, you know, pro-China flags and stuff to sort of stage certain things. So it seems to me that China wants things to be on their terms. The NBA wants to maintain an element of cooperation. This isn't going away. I think it's dying down to an extent. But I'm wondering what the overall solution is, because China is going to be very steadfast and very firm. The NBA, I think, is a little more malleable, just given the league as a whole. It's something that we'll probably touch on throughout the year. And it's something that I'm also definitely going to stay informed on until it does go away, because it's an important issue and in terms of what we stand for as people, in terms of what our values, what our, you know, moral code is. It's certainly one to keep an eye on, and especially the NBA as well. Like, they are a pro-democracy, pro-freedom league, but they're dealing with one of the markets that is almost anti that in terms of how they conduct themselves. But Nick, we'll do the sort of banter. Zion!
Z-Dub.
Yeah, all right. So bad. This is via NBA Bo. We had a minor chat about this. A little tickly. Just touch Nick's factor.
Don't tickle.
And Zion Williamson will be an all-star this season.
Mm,
Were you no leaning yes or was
I'm
I?
I'm no leaning yes. I was. I'm no leaning yes.
I was.
Oh wait, am I yes leaning no?
Yeah, because you think he will make it, don't you?
No, I don't think he'll make it.
Right,
but he might.
Yeah,
it's strange. But it's like sort of if 50% is the middle, I'm 40 and you're 60.
Yeah,
and this is like.
See, I don't think he'll make it. Being also this season, but I can't say no, so I'm going to give it Twitter. And I think
it's definitely not an alternative fact. I'm probably on the Twitter fact as well.
Might even be leaning Wiki. If we do this in like a couple of months' time, Zion already has a stranglehold in terms of the marketability that he has.
Yes,
and it is insane, and he is going to be on.
He will get. Is it hot takey to say he'll get the most All-Star votes? Higher than Curry and LeBron?
The last few years, it's been LeBron and Giannis, and then Steph's sort of been third or fourth with Kevin Durant. So I think that there is certainly a chance that we could...
Zion hype is big.
It's real, and Luka's has been up there as well. If you were to pick one, I didn't tell you this because I wanted to throw it at you on the pod. Mm. If you were to pick one out of Zion and Luka, who do you think makes the All-Star team?
Luka.
Okay, I would go Zion.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think...
Luka has equally been lighting up
preseason. Oh, he's been insane in the preseason. Like, he's been, and I think Kristaps as well, that little synergy there. I think we forget how good Kristaps was. But I think Zion, in terms of... He is the social media darling. If we were to do, like, social media superstar for players, Zion would win it every single bloody week because he gets thousands and millions of retweets and views on House of Highlights and Instagram. He, you know, he creates traction just by being his presence. Mm. And I know we have some differing views somewhat on his play, but he'll be an All-Star this season. I think he won't be an All-Star if he doesn't get the fan vote because we discussed this a little bit earlier. Because I think the coaches don't give the credence to rookies that they deserve a lot of the time. Luka could have easily made it last year. He was having an outstanding season. But he, in terms of, he was close with the fan vote.
International rookie, though. I think this is going to be a major player in coaches' decision-making. Coaches know what he can do.
Yeah.
They've been watching him. They watch college ball as well. They're watching this preseason. They know this guy better than they could ever have known Luka Doncic at the same point.
Yeah.
I,
even though he was probably the most scouted international rookie in history since Ricky Rubio.
Hmm. Yeah. I honestly think that more coaches will lean towards Zion if he does have a similar season to that of Luka Doncic. I think his chances of getting into the All-Star game are heightened the fact that he is American and went through the college system.
You're Luka over Zion. I'm Zion over Luka.
I'm still Luka over Zion because Luka's good, man. Luka's so good.
Both of these guys could easily be the faces of the league. If we're continuing to do JBT in 2 years, both of these guys could be MVP contenders.
Luka's such a it's sort of weird. Like, Luka's such a modern player.
He's like James Harden. Like, he's got some Steph moves. He's got passing like there's no other.
Crazy shots he can smooth. Make. But then Zion can just barrel.
Zion is just a monster. It's really, like, their contrast is insane. Mm. And I think that could be a fun sort of dynamic. Like, we could see other faces to leagues, but I think Giannis is obviously the next face. But who do you think, okay, before we move on to Steph, who we've sort of spoken about a little bit, who do you think will get more votes in terms of fan votes out of Zion and Luka?
Zion. Okay. I think Zion will get... Even
That's
though,
why
although,
I think
Luka's
he'll get
the
All-Star.
Like, Luka's got all of Europe.
Zaza got Georgia.
Got a lot. Man, the people of Georgia vote in droves.
We actually can't imagine PZ Cubes.
That is amazing. But it's just Zion is mega famous.
Yeah.
Zion is mega famous.
Yeah.
And which is why I honestly think he might take out.
So you're going to Wiki? You're going to go Trent? Because
I still don't think. I've sort of. Contradicting
you've talked
myself,
you've talked into,
I'm talking myself into
a wiki or
yeah, no, wiki. Let's do it. He's got a very good chance. Of
oh yeah, and I think that game. We like all NBA is a completely different conversation, but All Star is a fan driven concept. There obviously is elements to coaching and stuff, but it could certainly happen. Even
he
in
needs the, to be a sheer like he needs to be a sheer force of dominance though. Like he needs
he has to
be
do the same thing in the preseason
somehow beat people's expectations.
I think he just has to do what he's been doing the preseason, at least for like 50% of the games that he plays.
That's going
to
be hard. Yeah, that's good. We were discussing about this, like whether he can maintain this sort of consistency into the or like, does he hit a rookie wall?
Yeah, obviously he will. But I think, but at his lowest is one thing that Zion, I think a lot of people probably do say it, and they always say it's an underrated thing, but everyone says it so much that it's not really underrated. He's an incredible competitor. And in terms of guys that are number one picks, they sort of rest on their laurels, they're talented, they don't really care. Zion is an animal. And
rest
he just
on their yannies.
Yes, whatever. You idiot. He is just a beast. And he just goes out there and is a monster in terms of just blocks and just competitiveness. And I think that there are a lot of guys who are high talents. You look at like an Andrew Wiggins that don't have that in them. And I think that alone is going to make him not necessarily have that rookie wall to an extent. I think his body could affect him, whatever. He's just a truck. He weighs more than Boban, even though he's like a foot shorter. But plenty of Zion talk, I'm sure we'll have throughout the season and when we do the season preview next week. But Nick, this is a minor precursor to the MVP preview we'll be doing next week. Stephen Curry should be the MVP favorite.
I don't think he should be the favorite, but he should. I mean, I don't know where he's. Where do you have? Where
click
he's
on sportsbet.com.au. That's that one. No, literally, I had it. Sportsbet.com.au.
Oh yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. His second favorite.
There you go.
To Giannis. Scroll down.
I was looking at Zion. $172 for rookie.
I'd put money on RJ. I put money on Ja.
Are steep odds. That's virtually confirmed.
Yeah, it's like I think Richmond were like $1.72 to win the grand final. Yeah, like, and now we're in the grand final. Like, so much can happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's my pick. This is a minor precursor. I'm not going to speak too much into it. But it was funny. The Warriors PR Twitter put out a tweet where Stephen Curry, and this is off the basis of he had a 40-point performance against Minnesota, which was insane. Mm. And it's like, Stephen Curry is the first person in preseason history since Stephen Curry in 2017 to have a 40-point NBA preseason performance. And health is going to be the number one thing for Steph.
Yeah.
So I'm on the Steph bandwagon. And for MVP, there are so many different things that have to align. And I spoke about it with Corey and Nick when we were doing the Bucks preview and speaking about Giannis. I think that there could be some fatigue because of back-to-backs. It's always really hard to go back-to-back. Steph is one of those guys that has done that. But there's always a newness to like an Anthony Davis. Or I forgot how good Stephen Curry was. Remember how good he was? It's like the member berry from South Park.
Remember
Stephen Curry? Remember 2015-16 season? Remember 73-9?
I remember.
So for me, he's... You don't have to say your pick because, you know, we might save some sort of allure and mystery.
Okay, yeah, that's a fair point. I was about to unveil it.
Yes.
But I completely agree in terms of health. Like, it's a similar story with Anthony Davis. It's Anthony Davis, Steph Curry, both have... Well, Anthony Davis more
Anthony
so?
Less. Anthony
yeah,
Davis
yeah,
less for me because Stephen Curry's a bit older.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's going to be a larger burden on him, whereas at least Anthony Davis is like, oh, all right, I'll sit and LeBron can do
this. That's right. I think when it comes down to those two regular season MVPs, health is a massive thing. And I think those are what is sort of doctored those odds a little bit. They've degraded them. What I really want to see, and what I have found fascinating, I guess is a better word, is that the end of once Kevin Durant got traded, people were crapping on the Warriors and be like, they lost the final, you know, they were nothing without KD, they're not going to be a good team. And early conversation pieces started with like, what will Steph Curry do? And what will he be when he is the team again?
Yeah.
And I am so excited, Jack.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see the lovable Warriors again. Yeah, honest to God, they will be everyone's favorite team again.
Yeah, it's weird how in such a short
KD
span,
and then everyone will hate the Nets.
It's one of, I don't mind that. Like, they hate us because they ain't us, as they say.
Yes,
but yeah, I'm really high on Steph. I just think he has to stay healthy. And, you know, I always speak about MVP. I did an MVP piece sort of when I was speaking about Kyrie Irving and his sort of claims for the award. You know, he's at $51. I think he's a low-key sort of sneaky pick that I think could be nice value. And I think Joel Embiid is another one as well who I would probably put some money on. You need success as a team. You need to put up some ridiculous sort of numbers. and you need to be healthy and play 70 games.
I think Golden, that's what I mean. I think Golden State definitely have that
and we spoke
capability.
About
most... Like, should Curry be the MVP favorite? If you can guarantee me health,
yeah,
then probably fact.
I can't, Nick. I'm sorry.
But you can't, so it's alternative fact. Like, that's the swing for me. Like, if you can guarantee me that he plays 70-plus games...
Yeah, that's what he needs.
Then...
69.
This is a fact for me. See, should be the favorite.
Yeah, I'll go with Twitter because he is the second MVP favorite outside of, you know, Giannis. And I think... You know, if James Harden...
Brought to our friends at sportsbet.com.au.
Yeah, sportsbet.com.au. I mean, guys, I don't know if you guys have an official NBA podcast, but we're here.
We're here.
I actually think that they do, but we're better. Clearly.
Damn right.
But Nick, another point guard we'll get into. Kyle Lowry's contract extension gives Toronto great flexibility for the loaded 2021. I'm going to hate...
2021.
I'm going to hate saying this. 2020-2021 season. I'm glad that it's 19-20 now. Hopefully we're still doing the pod then.
2021 season.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's that it gives them great flexibility for that free agency class, my friend.
One year extension.
What were your initial reactions when it came out? I was like, oh, but I was like, I don't hate it. I don't like it. I wasn't like, what does this actually mean?
I think it's just a goodwill. You've been such a good. Like, it's a respect. I think it's a massive show of respect.
Yeah.
I think they appreciate the fact that Toronto aren't going to be.
He's the greatest Raptor in history.
Yeah. Oh, I mean.
Well, Vince, DeMar, and Chris Bosh, but he is. He's one.
Is Kawhi?
No, but I think in terms of long. When you're talking about in history,
yeah,
it's longevity.
I know.
Like, if you're talking about. Who's the greatest Manchester City player in history? I don't know how long your club's been a thing. But if you're talking
about...
It
hasn't been good for very long,
yeah,
that's for sure.
So, like, in terms... I think longevity matters when it comes to historical status within a franchise. So, yeah, this is a goodwill deal, I mean, like you were sort of saying.
Mm-hmm.
But within that, also the fact that it wasn't... from what I've read and from what I've heard, Kyle Lowry wanted a longer deal extension. Wanted 2 or 3 years sort of to be that final sort of nail in the coffin for his sort of massive deals. But instead, Masai Ujiri was like, look, we'll front load this. We'll give you like 1 year and we'll like give you $31 million. And it's just like, okay, cool. Why not? As a number, it seems a little bit outlandish. And I think it still gives the Raptors.
Oh, I mean, yeah. You told me that Kyle Lowry's on $30 million a year.
And he's age 34 season.
Like that is an exorbitant amount of money. He's a great player.
Yeah.
But that is a lot of money.
It is, but
Because it's only the year, I'm like, and Toronto aren't exactly going to be like, they're not attracting, they don't have a massive free agent, like that they need to use the money. They don't need to use the salary at the moment this season.
Yeah.
So why not? Why not pay one of your best and most loyal players just boatloads of money?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, no one is upset with this deal.
No, and I think in that sort of sense as well, they have flexibility. They can still trade him. They can still trade Marcus, all these sort of guys if they were to want to blow it up. But I think Kyle Lowry on this deal, in terms of the fact that it is only 1 year, it is still, as an asset, still attractive. And it gives them flexibility to go for the likes of Giannis, who is the most... going to be the most coveted, you know, free agent.
That's right. Like, in a year's time, you open up $31 million.
And CJ McCollum, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, these sort of guys, obviously those guys will be restricted, but, you know, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, LeBron will be back on the market, whatever he's doing, Blake Griffin. There's a lot of free agents at 2021, and whereas next year it is bugger all. So you would rather sort of lock it up for a year.
Yeah.
I think it's clever by Masai Ujiri, and obviously I mentioned this on the Bucks preview as well. Masai Ujiri, a Nigerian native, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Nigerian parents. So I think that there is a connection within there, and I think that Giannis is the kind of guy, and I'll repeat it, if you haven't subscribed to The Outlet as well as JBT, make sure you subscribe to both of them on iTunes. I think that Giannis is the kind of guy that isn't going to be like, oh, I want to go to LA. Oh, I want to go to New York.
Mm.
He'll consider all options. And I think Toronto is an attractive option.
Yeah, for sure. I think Kawhi sort of made it very notable, very, very attractive. With just the last thing, it's not often that you find a deal that just doesn't have negatives. Like, of course, like...
Well, like, you look at Caris LeVert. That's probably the one where it's just like, there, and if Spencer did what he does, for a lot of the part, it's like, if it's short, it's always like, oh, okay, give him 1 year, $90 million. It's obviously not allowed.
But I mentioned, like, it's a, no one's upset with this deal.
Nah.
And that is the trademark of a good deal, where it works for both parties. The fan base, it completely, should be. If you're a Toronto Raptors fan and you object to Kyle Lowry getting paid for 1 year,
you aren't a real Raptors
then
fan.
Just go home, mate.
Yeah.
Or get leave
out.
Home.
Or get out.
Leave Canada because you don't believe you don't belong.
You're
get
them,
out.
You tell them to get out.
You can get out.
All right. Now we'll move on to one of the MVP favorites that we've been speaking about, and he's been working on something, Nick.
That one-legged three-point shot he's been working on. It's
Do the take, Nick.
It's smooth, mate.
It's
smooth. The one-legged shot won't see the light of day in the regular season. He's tried it a few times in the preseason.
Missed both of them.
And in practice games, I've seen on Facebook.
Oh, wow.
On the Facebook
Vince. Ben Simmons is shooting threes in practice games and hit one in preseason. We will get to Ben Simmons.
That was... will we?
Yeah,
we will. Okay, good, because I want to talk about that. will it? Will it? Won't it?
What do you think, Nick? Is he going to shoot it in the regular season?
I think he will. I think he's got confidence in his own ability.
I honestly think, though, it's dumb. It's just a dumb shot. Like, he already has one of the most insane offensive weapons with that step back. It's probably the best move in terms of creating the highest amount of shot. Like, because he can get fouled on it as well. And a lot of the time, when we spoke about it, you know, a lot during season three of the podcast, he is just a mastermind, and the ability to create that shot, and he's just insane when it comes to it. Why make it any harder? Like, I don't know how this makes him a more efficient player, a more dangerous player. To me, it's dumb.
The only thing I can see that this shot adds is a little bit more separation, because it's not...
How much? He gets separation with the step back!
I know. But it sort of adds to that, because it's such an unexpected shot that you may... I mean, people are going to be expecting
next time we do pick up, Nick, we're going to start practicing.
It's just... it's an off-balance shot. So if I was an amateur, I wouldn't be attempting it. But he is a professional shooter. This is what he does.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm positive that he knows what he's doing.
So...
And I think, like I said, I think the only thing it adds is a little bit more separation. Does that make up for the fact that you are off balance when you're shooting?
Yeah.
I guess the statistics will wait and see, because someone out there, if he does do this in the regular season, someone
copycats.
Will... No, not copycats. Someone will collate all this data and be like, well, he's only shooting 15% on
one
these
legs.
One-legged shots.
And he's shooting 0% right now on it to be...
It was fouled. He was fouled.
Yeah, that was not a foul. We watched.
Doesn't matter though. It doesn't count as a shot when you're fouled.
I know. But Nick, how many before we'll get to Ben Simmons next?
Jeez,
actually,
are you trying to get me to do a sheer number?
No, just in terms of over under. He shoots five. No, he makes three of these one-legged shots throughout the regular season.
Oh, over.
You think he's going to make
most?
More than three?
Most definitely, he's going to try one a game.
Okay.
So at least one a game.
All right, I don't think it's going to be that much. I think maybe the over-under of three is a bit too low, but I don't think he's going to make many of them, and I'm very down on it until maybe it's the fact that I just haven't seen him make it in an NBA setting, and yes, you can see them in the practice gyms in Los Angeles. But Nick, there was video to go with the Ben Simmons one, but I don't think you'll like it. It adds to the atmosphere, but we don't have to go to it. Ben Simmons made three was a sign of things to come, my friend.
Oh, boy.
It wasn't a sign of things to come.
Boy, oh, boy.
He did it against Shang Zhao,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, I know. This is... I want to buy into the hype, but I was talking to my dad about this, and he's like, oh, Ben Simmons shooting three now. I'm like... couple things.
Here we go.
One.
Let me explain, Daddy-O.
Preseason game.
Yep, it is a preseason game.
Two.
Yep.
They were 40 points up.
They were.
In the third quarter, fourth quarter.
End of the third
they
quarter.
They were 40 points up.
Yep.
There is no way he attempts that shot, because he was a good foot and a half, two feet behind the three. So it was an impressive shot, and I'll get into that shot a bit later.
You can.
But he would not have had the confidence nor the gall to even
attempt... You love gall. You love me some gall.
To even attempt that shot... And honestly, that is a roll of the dice whether that goes in.
It looked pretty good. I'm not going to say.
But the mechanics of the shot were sound.
Yeah, they're all right.
And it was absolutely flush.
It was pretty flush.
It was beautiful.
It was money.
The actual shot itself was beautiful.
Nothing but net.
But it's...
Big but.
Because he was so far behind the arc, the defender was not on him. And I've had this problem with Ben Simmons' three-point shot ever since I've seen it. It is slow. The guy who was defending him was, I think he was relatively short.
Yeah.
So even if it...
Well,
even
Ben Simmons is 6'10 anyway. Well,
yeah, I mean, everyone's relatively short when it comes to...
Ben.
Yeah, when it comes to Ben Simmons. But he's going to get found out. If he wants to be... If he wants to try and spot up shoot, it needs to be quicker than what it is.
It's the number one topic related to Ben Simmons.
And I don't think this... I think he'll shoot more threes. He's not going to become a three-point shooter.
I don't think it's...
But he'll shoot more.
Yeah, it's not hard to say he'll shoot more when he's made zero and he's shot like 11 across
his career.
He's
made one now. He's official. I
don't think that goes on Beeble reference though, man.
No, I don't think so in the preseason.
But I was probably more impressed with the one where he shot like a 15-foot fadeaway shot. Did you see that one? That one to me looked the best because it was just a shot that wasn't in the paint and it wasn't driving and it wasn't finished with either hand. I always look at a player's free throw percentage and how that can affect their 3-point percentage because it's been a correlation for stat nerds and it's always been reflective. You look at Stephen Curry, shoots like 90%, and you look at Klay Thompson, shoots like 85%. You look at Kevin Durant, he shoots 90%. Ben Simmons is a bad free throw shooter. He's 50% less. I think he might have had a 60% year in his rookie season, but that isn't a good sign, and that for me is a correlation.
The mechanic of his
he's a right hander.
The mechanic of his free throw shot doesn't look right.
No,
but his field goal shot looks smooth.
Looks better.
It looks smooth.
It's not smooth.
That 3-point shot, mate, was smooth.
I think it was smooth in the sense that he was confident in taking it. And I don't know, like you sort of mentioned, is he going to be confident taking it against the Milwaukee Bucks in an April game that could determine if they're the first seed or whatever?
Even if it's just 10 points. If they're even 10 points up, which is like, it's not comfortable, but it's a decent enough lead.
Yeah.
I still don't think he attempts that shot.
I can't remember who said this, but I think that Brett Brown, a person advocated for Brett Brown, taking him off if he doesn't take open shots and he hesitates. And I would advocate for that as well. But I think Ben Simmons has this, not arrogance. Arrogance is maybe, no, it's arrogance.
No, I think you're right. Yeah. I think it's arrogance.
And I mean, I'm a Ben Simmons fan. I know many Aussies aren't. I am, but I can also recognize the flaws in his game and the flaws in his personality in terms of the basketball persona that he's sort of cultivated for himself. He's a stud. But there are glaring weaknesses in his game. He is still I think we had him ranked at 24 or 25, I can't remember, in the early to mid-20s of the top 50.
This is a guy who's entering his third season.
Yeah.
Like, give him time.
And we'll see. We shall see. It'll be the number one thing that it's everyone watching. He's already sick of answering that question. But Nick, we'll get on to a team that probably isn't going to get much airtime next year. The Phoenix Suns can make the playoffs.
No,
they can't. They cannot.
Alternative.
This person put out
alternative. This is an alternative.
This person put out a tweet, and he just listened.
They're in the West as well. Like, come on.
In the East, you would be like, oh, maybe. I mean,
you'd still say no, though.
You would definitely.
Still say no if they were in the East, but it would not be an instant no. It'd be like a nah.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be like a
slight pause, and it's like, nah.
Yeah, it wouldn't be an N-O exclamation point. It'd be a dot, 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 N-A-H.
Two H's.
Nah. Yeah. Fair. That's fair. Yeah. But the...
Where have you come up with this? Was this your idea?
This was... No, I didn't put this on Twitter. I actually retweet commented this and...
and said no.
I literally said, this ain't it. I love saying this ain't it to a lot of takes I don't agree with on Twitter. And I got a few likes. A few other people didn't think it was it either. But
I mean, that's not exactly
It's not a hot take to say that.
Yeah. But hot take, Phoenix Suns aren't going to make the playoffs.
Look, DeAndre Ayton's going to be better. Hopefully, sure, he said he wants to take threes. He wants to be a power forward. That's dumb.
Defensively, I think, is where he needs to improve.
He definitely needs to improve there. He is a walking like 2010 as well. He just knows how to put up numbers. But can he impact winning? That's what we always value in terms of our players. Mm-hmm. Ricky, we love Sicky Ricky. He is the most handsome man on earth. Yes.
Yeah.
I was watching the FIBA game.
Handsome. Like, I think that's the correct word. He's just handsome.
Very handsome. From, like, this baby, this cute little kid. Yeah. Like, with the...
Then he grew a beard and hair.
Yeah, I was just,
just like, damn! Yeah,
Ricky. I remember us, like, losing our shit, like, when that happened in Utah.
Because he went from, like, short, like, the sort of short spiky hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he had a man bun. I was just like, damn, man, you can pull that off.
And the sexiest beard probably in the history of beards.
The transition was very much like, Neville Longbottom.
He Longbottomed big time.
Oh, yeah.
But he will add something. They have a point guard. I don't think that it's the best fitting point guard alongside
Devin
Booker.
They haven't had a point guard since they had
Isaiah Thomas, Goran Dragic, and Eric Bledsoe at the same time.
That's right.
Which was, I think, probably just when we started the podcast, so 2 or 3 years ago. Mm. And Devin Booker will continue to improve, but there are going to be naysayers around him, obviously, as well.
I feel like I've been saying that about Devin Booker for like 7 years.
Oop, Trey.
Because he's been in the league for so long.
But he's still very young.
The guy entered the league when he was like 17.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't even think that's possible, but like 18. He was super young. Yeah. I remember. It feels like he's a vet in this league.
Yeah, he's the same age as D'Lo, I think,
which is nuts.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oubtre as well.
They do have Oubtre.
He's been nice. You're a fan.
He steadily gets better every year. Like nothing to to write home about.
He's a starting small forward, and he got a bit of money. And then you've got like Cam Johnson, who is apparently the next Devin Booker. That was another take that was on Instagram NBA that someone sent, and they said Cam Johnson is the next Devin Booker. I don't know how these people are allowed to watch basketball. It bewilders me in ways more than one. But they're not making the playoffs. Do they finish last?
And
Memphis does, yeah? Do they finish any higher than 14th?
I'm trying to think.
It's Memphis. Memphis is the worst team. Do they finish any higher than 14th? Like, than second last? Can they... Because there is, like...
You'd want to hope that they finish off the bottom. Like...
If they finish last...
Come on, Phoenix.
If they finish last, because Memphis will want to finish last, and they don't have any reason to not finish last. Obviously, lottery odds flatten out. But obviously, they also have... They're an incredibly inexperienced squad in terms of where their high-end talent is with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. And Brandon Clark and those sort of guys. The Suns could sun it up. We know Robbie Sarves.
I'm sitting there over-under at 13.5.
So
13.5 in terms of their standing. Are you over or under that?
I think they'll finish second last.
So you're under.
Yeah. Like
that's a good line to set because, like, I'm leaning 13th on a good season.
So,
like,
well, obviously,
they have to be better. They have to be better, Jack.
They have to be, but we've said that since we've done this podcast.
Oh.
And they have.
I'm going 13th.
Okay,
I believe in the extra year of Ayton.
Like,
I'm trying to think of
just
bad,
look up just
I'm
look up the Western Conference. Teams. It's because the Western Conference is ridiculously stacked. Like teams that are like on the fringes. Like Minnesota have guys like Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh yeah, Minnesota aren't going to make the playoffs.
Like that, I think that the Minnesota have an okay chance to make it. Like unless there is like
Sacramento are going to finish higher.
Like there is
Dallas are going to finish higher. Blazers.
Are you going to retract it? Are you going to go back with me to 14?
Wow.
There's just too many good teams.
There's too many. Yeah, wow.
Even like the average teams, like, you know,
maybe the line should be 14.5. Fucking hell. How depressing.
The Phoenix Suns are going to be bad. And I'm sorry, Phoenix Suns fans, but we've given you some time in the podcast. And if there are
we'll
any Phoenix
make
Suns.
The playoffs.
I didn't put it out there. It's just we needed to give some discussion. It's the off season.
That's it.
Second last one before we get to an amalgamation of Wizards Watch and Brooklyn Bits. I don't know what Nick's going to do with the music. He's going to surprise me. He's going to surprise us all. Bang, bang, bang. Anthony Davis, Nick. His thumb injury leaves the Lakers behind the eight ball heading into the regular season. He has sprained his thumb in game 2 against my Nets.
Classic.
Nets clean sweep over the Lakers. It's going to happen again, baby. We're going to sweep them in the regular season. We're going to sweep them in the finals this year.
No Irving, no KD.
No worries.
No worries.
No was, bae. No worries, bae. Don't worry about that. But obviously a thumb strain isn't the most serious of injuries, but there's ligaments and stuff in there, and your thumb is very important when you are shooting a basketball. For a person who doesn't shoot it very well, Nick, explain to me how important the thumb is.
Very.
There we go. One word you need, ladies and gentlemen. He's a shooter.
I can't remember who it was who had a famously bad thumb injury. It was a big man. I'm leaning towards Shaq, but it might have been... anyway, we'll just say Shaq.
Go with Shaq.
Someone had a bad thumb injury. And like you hear thumb injury, like a small appendage, you don't think of it having a major impact.
You know about small appendages.
But that was good. That was very good. I'm very sad. but he struggled to grip the ball.
Yeah.
And it was uncomfortable every time he gripped the ball. I can't remember who it was.
I know who you're talking about, though.
But it played a major role in that season, and saying how painful it was to actually play basketball. Whether it leaves him behind the eight ball of the regular season, I don't think it will. I can't see him missing too much game time.
Hopefully
and
not.
Given that the LA medical staff don't completely botch the recovery, I don't think it'll put them tremendously behind the eight ball or. If any. Because if they're reliant on Anthony Davis, even through the first 10 games of the season, to be competitive, then they probably weren't going to be competitive anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers jumped out and made a huge splash against, you know, no pun intended, against the Golden State Warriors in that sort of preseason game. And then they looked really lackluster against my Brooklyn Nets. But, you know, how much you can take away from preseason, who knows? But I am... slightly worried about the Lakers' quality of depth. I think there's depth. Avery Bradley, okay. Everyone was raving him and talking him up, but he was in the first preseason.
Like players like Avery Bradley would be fine if the Lakers aren't exactly a very, I guess, good
developmental.
Good is not the like. You know, like the Spurs system, you get players that enter who come out better. Their system is not good. It's not established.
They're trying to improve that in the
offseason. Sure, if they do, then these quality players will be 100% fine.
Yeah,
but
we'll have to wait and see.
Exactly.
Kuzma's still injured as well. Yep. So like there are some issues in Lakeland, and I'm not as high on them as some other people just because I don't think that their depth is that great. I'm not as high on their roster as a lot of other teams. I think teams like Utah, Denver, you know, the Clippers obviously just have the better teams. But if you ride on the coattails of your superstars, Anthony Davis is an absolute stud. LeBron's an absolute stud. And if those guys are healthy for, like we sort of said with Steph, 70-plus games, then things will be fine. Nick, play Brooklyn Bits or Wizards Woes or
Let's play Brooklyn Bows.
The Washington Wizards will make a noise.
Just a mess of sound.
As are the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, we're dragging you down with you because it ruined your piece of music as well.
Hey, you guys got 41 points in a quarter. I don't know how.
Impressive. Rui, mate. Rui's good.
You're going to see your rookie at the year. You had Kevin. Remember you had...
Kevin Knox.
You have Kevin Knox.
Rui is my rookie of the year.
I've given my MVP. This. Nick's given his rookie. You don't need to listen next week's episode.
That's it.
Please listen to next week's episode. All right. We're going to get this one. This one is the actual video, and it is via Woj on the Woj and Lowe show.
The Nets and the Clippers to me are the most interesting examples because they have two stars and they have depth. They have real legitimate depth, and that's what you sacrifice to get the third star. You sacrifice your depth. And I think the Nets, with a lot of young trade assets and a lot of draft picks, they have an extra first-round pick coming in, are going to be the team that most faces the question, do we want to cash some of that depth in for a third star, or are we going to ride with that depth? And there's arguments either way. I mean, when your depth gets expensive, then you can't pay anybody, and you've sort of missed a chance maybe to cash it in for a third star.
Zach, I think the Nets have a third star, Caris LeVert.
Boom.
Boom, baby.
Boom, boom. That is a Woj bomb if I ever heard one. Caris LeVert is the Nets' third star.
This is Wikipedia factual. His performance, which I'm going to be going through the video very soon for NetsRepublic.com and OGD Basketball and all the rest. Can't wait to go through his preseason performance. His three ball looks a lot more mechanically sound. He looks confident in taking it. His performances across, and Nick and I have done American Nick. I have to differentiate because this guy's also called Nick. you are, yeah?
I am.
Cool, yeah. JBT Nick. And he was insane for us in our playoff series against Philadelphia. He was our best player. And that was pre-injury, when, and again, we discussed all of this in the player preview series for the 2019-20 season on the Brooklyn Buzz. Make sure you subscribe to that one on iTunes. He was just insane. And he put up insane numbers. He is an amazing passer. He is has great defensive instincts. He has length. He can play make. He has size. He is almost the prototypical third guy in a way of like Pascal Siakam. These sort of guys who just have can do so many things. And I think it's almost somewhat of a good thing that Kevin Durant is out. Obviously, you would much rather have Kevin Durant out there. But Caris LeVert is going to shine, and people are going to remember how good he was. He would have won the most improved player if he didn't have that horrific
foot injury.
There were
talks of him making, like he was on track to make an All-Star game, and there's literally a star in the name, All-Star.
Whoa, give me an explosion that, one again.
Man, we're overusing that explosion.
Hey, we overused Game 7. Let's overuse like something that actually makes sense.
Yeah, so I definitely believe that the Nets are on the verge of that third star right there in Caris LeVert.
The reason why I've contrasted it with the Wizards, Nick, is that if they spoke about in terms of trading for a third star, the Nets certainly can. They've been brought up in the Bradley Beal sweepstakes. Do you want Caris?
Do I want Caris over Bradley Beal? Probably not.
No, I guess it's probably a better way to frame it. In terms of packages you could get back, how high would Caris...
Like, if we're giving... If we're trading Bradley Beal because he's unhappy, then I will more than happily trade that for Caris LeVert. I'd be very happy for Caris LeVert.
Keeping things in the JBT family.
That's it. Come to the Wizards.
In terms of the deal that obviously would be on the... And I guess another one would be probably Denver, who have Gary Harris and some pieces that they could probably work around with that, like Monte Morris, whoever it might be. Who would you prefer to have? You know, those guys are both sort of third guys, I think. I know I'd prefer Caris LeVert, but Gary Harris is also a very, very good, a very talented player, good defender. He had a bit of a down season. But those two, I think, are probably the packages that make the most sense. There are probably other teams that can get into the Bradley Beal sweepstakes, but for me, Denver and Brooklyn have two of the best packages, and if you could pick one of them...
It's whatever deal puts us 4 years from now in the...
I'm asking you
sort of in the realm.
It's
not really dependent on whether it's Gary Harris or
picks?
LeVert. It's about the picks and the secondary players that we get.
Okay, well then discounting that, if both of the deals are exactly the same amount of picks, the picks are similar.
Probably LeVert then.
All right, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's maybe because I hang out with you too much. That I've been... There's a lot of LeVert propaganda or swelling around
well,
in my head.
Well, I mean, I was... it's funny how, like, things change so much. Going into our fourth season next year, I've been getting... Have you been getting the Facebook memories of, like, us previewing?
Yeah.
Like, 9 days to countdown? And it's like, that was good. That was a good idea. We should have got more traction on that. Obviously, we were a nothing podcast here. We weren't even a podcast. But looking back, it's amazing how... In the space of 3-4 years, your team, who was where my team was, championship... Did you just... Let's end the podcast right there. Let's just get the spiel before Nick starts to ruin his microphone anymore. We need this thing. It is a part of our podcasting platform.
My head... My microphone doesn't even deserve my head. Oh, my head doesn't deserve my microphone.
Vice versa.
All right.
Wonderful. And I mean, the fact that the Wizards' woes is a topic... I think that I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, it speaks volumes.
I'm grateful for the sound bites. For sure. Drinking some bleach out tied to the blue till I feel like Harry Potter.
Till I feel like Harry Potter.
Boom, 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 boom. Looking forward to hearing that outro music as well. Stick around for that.
All right, that just about does it for another week. So we'd just like to say thank you for tuning in. You can catch us on the Nothing But Net Dash radio channel. As always, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Blog Talk Radio, or wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. do us a solid, leave us a rating and review as well. Helps us out heaps. It helps people find the show. So remember, it's you guys that make the show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week.
3 years down, superstars.